This podcast is offered by Jikoji Zen Center on the web at jikoji.org. Our programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
Well, I'm going to talk today about the Buddha's parinirvana. Does everybody know what that is? It's when the Buddha, well, when he died, but we say that He passed into nirvana a final time. You know, he had been reborn many times, and he was perfect, and he didn't need to have any more lives. But that happened. We generally celebrate that in February 15th. Most Buddhist places, February 8th. But we're about to start a sesshin. That is a meditation, a week-long meditation retreat. So there's a lot of meditation and then some talks each day. And I'm going to give the talks. And last fall sometime, Nenzen, the abbess here, asked me if I could give these talks. And I've never done it before, so led a sesshin before. So I wasn't sure, but then I have a teacher and friend. I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. My name is Tom Tolan, or my Buddhist name is Kinho. Bokushu Kinho. I have a friend and a Dharma teacher, and he's right there on the screen. His name is Dale Verkylen, or Taizen Dale Verkylen. And he said, you know, you could give talks on, I just read this book. This is The Roots of Goodness. It's based on teachings by A. Hay Dogen, who is a founder of this, of our school of Zen. We're Soto Zen, and there's also Rinzai. But he was a 13th century Japanese monk. Anyway, there's a lot of commentary in here by a Zen teacher named Kosho Uchiyama Roshi. And so I just read that and I thought, well, as long as I'm talking, we were talking about the Nehane session, that's the one about that commemorates the parinirvana of Buddha. Why don't I give a talk based on the sutra that this is talking about? There's a sutra called the Buddha's Bequeathed Teachings, Sutra of the Buddha's Bequeathed Teachings. And it's a lot of people in the Mahayana, in our sort of branch of Buddhism, say that this was the last talk that the Buddha gave before dying. And the very last part of that talk is called the Eight Truths of a Great Human Being. So he lays out eight things that a great human being, or sometimes in Japanese, it's, Hachi Dainen Gaku. Hachi means eight. Gaku means awakenings or awakenings or truths, and Dainin is a great person, but it's also it also means a true adult. So I actually like the idea of the eight awakenings of a true adult, because that's what we all, that's where we're all aiming. Even me, I'm 76. I still aspire to be a true adult. So anyway, let's see. I'll tell you a little bit. I also, besides reading this book, I watched a bunch of talks online from he's a German teacher. His name is Muho Nelki, but he was the abbot of a very famous temple in Japan. And he gave a bunch of talks on these teachings. And he is doubtful that they were actually, that the Buddha actually taught these things right before he died. He thinks that, he says that, well, I read a biography of the Buddha, the life of the Buddha, and there's no mention of these teachings. So I think, but he thinks that they were written hundreds of years after the death of Buddha, after the parinirvana of Buddha, in China. So, but still, they're good. And then there's a, so Dogen, the guy that this book is based on, from the 13th century, well, he became enlightened in China. He when he in his 20s, he came over and he went to temple called the Tiantong Temple, which is just south of the what's that Gulf, Hangzhou Gulf. That is, it's just south of Shanghai. And so he went to that temple and he became enlightened, and then he went back to Japan, lived for another 30 years teaching and writing. He has voluminous amount of writing. And then the last, the very last thing he wrote was on these same eight truths. So that's what's called Hachidai Nengaku. So anyway, it's started in China, and then Dogen brought it. Anyway, I think maybe I better list them for you. This is what you have to have if you're a true adult or a great human being. The first one is having small desires. So not to seek after, seeking after too much can make you a little crazy. So having small desires is the first one. And the next one is related. It's called knowing satisfaction. So to know with that what you have is enough is the second one. So not to be too ambitious to acquire great belongings. Enjoying tranquility is the third one. And I've seen it said that the idea is to go somewhere in a to go solo and to be alone and in contemplation is enjoying tranquility. But I think you can have tranquility. I think this is a pretty tranquil place, don't you think? Well, most days. So yeah, so you can, I think you can be tranquil. Number four is practicing diligence. And I like that coming after tranquility, that you don't you work hard. And you're going forward. The fifth one is keeping right mindfulness. So you, well, just you're aware of where you are, who you are, and you and what's going on around you. Number six, practicing the balanced state of jhana. Jhana is, Sanskrit word, or is it Pali? I think it's Sanskrit, that means samadhi. It means meditation. So that's what we're attempting here. So and then the seventh is practicing wisdom, and the Buddhist idea of wisdom. There's I've got something that I'll read a little later. It's the idea of wisdom is to it's intuitive understanding rather than intellectual understanding. So you make decisions based on intuition. And this, well, what I'll read later is about how Zazen, which we've been practicing today, how Zazen harmonizes the body and mind, and that intuition, intuitive wisdom comes out of that, you know, maybe not after one or two sessions, but eventually. So, the last one is number eight is avoiding idle discussions. So that seems not as important as wisdom, but I'm still sort of, you know, I have a lot of discussions about sports, so I'm thinking that that may be an idle discussion. But yeah, I was just I was just talking to Chris over there about it yesterday. And, you know, maybe my baseball team, I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and my baseball team is the Brewers, and I kind of think that they're a special team, and they're like a sangha. You know, they have great you know, they have great allegiance with each other. They love each other. They practice. They play for each other. And then last year in the playoffs, they were coming out of the dugout. They were down to their last game, and they all stepped out of the dugout on the same foot together. So I thought that was kind of dharma, you know. To me, that was dharma. So anyway, but I think others might think that that's an idle discussion. But anyway, let's see what else I got for you. Oh, well, the other thing that Tyson Dale told me, so the reason he convinced me that I could give these talks, lead this session, and he said how you do it is he had taught me and his late wife, Renshin, Barbara Verkylen, had developed based on this psychotherapist from New Zealand, had developed this technique for sort of accessing your intuitive wisdom. So I've got a couple of, it's called what's it called, Dale? Okay, emergent knowledge right here. Emergent knowledge is a way that you set yourself a goal. And the idea is to ask yourself very neutral questions, and like six in a row, and as you ask these questions, you get closer to your intuition about something. So there's two ways of doing it. One is to solve something called a well, here we go again. It's like a complex, a mental complex. It's well, okay, it'll come to me. Anyway, a conditioned state, a conditioned state. So it's you have some problem in your life that causes you to behave in a certain way, and there's a way to sort of confront that problem by asking these questions. And I'll give you an example. Unfortunately, I am kind of lazy, and I actually in order to study these 10, 8 truths, I thought that I had better work pretty hard at it. So first you make a want statement. What do you want to do? And so my want statement was, oh yeah, my problem was I don't like to work hard.
Ha ha ha.
I don't know. I know there's people on here that work very hard. So my want statement was, I want to work hard on February session prep. And then the first thing is, first neutral question is, what do I know about that? So my answer to that was, I tend to be lazy. And then you say, what else? You know, five more times. What else? I feel guilty about successes. So I guess that's my theory about myself. I always thought I was a smart little boy, and I felt a little guilty about, you know, that. You know, I thought I was better than other people and felt guilty about that. Anyway, what else? I feel my success harms others by comparison. That's what I said. Anyway, that I have five younger brothers and sisters, and you know, I thought that my, you know, being a success somehow, well, they're way beyond me now, so I thought that was somehow harmful to them. And what else? Who really cares if I'm successful or not? That's number four. Number five is, what else? Who is this I that you're talking about? And what else? My last one was work, work, work. So that's an example. And then you ask a question. You say, what do I know now that I didn't know about that? And that my answer to that is, when I work hard, who is working? So that's kind of zenny. You know, who am I after all? And then you come to the last thing is you come make a proclamation statement. So my proclamation statement was, let's go forward with, or with, actually I said, let's go forward without torpor. But Dale Tyson Dale said, why don't you put in with or without torpor? Let's go forward with or without torpor. Because torpor does somehow come around once in a while. Anyway, that's an example of you know, a conditioned state, dealing with a conditioned state. So that was to help me get started. But then, Dale suggested that I do that same process with each of these eight practice or these eight qualities, eight truths. So that's another use of this emergent knowledge. So the first truth, as I told you, is having small desires. And so my want statement was, I want to understand small desire. So my first, what do I know about that? I said, it makes sense that a bodhisattva would have small desire. And number two, what else? Because she or he is not distracted from seeing beings as they are. So if you desire, if you see people through the glasses of desire, you're not seeing them as they are. That's my theory there. And third, what else do I know? Patience can thrive with small. And then I don't know where this came from. Sleep on the floor, it's okay. I guess if you don't desire a comfortable bed, you can sleep. And then the next one was hard to be fooled. Yeah, you can people can't it was one of the things I read about this one is flattery. Well, there's a guy in Washington that seems to respond well. Yeah, well, people, no politics, yeah, hard to be fooled if you're not if you're not believing everybody's flattery. And then the final one was don't want anything. Okay, so these aren't perfect, but anyway. And then what do I know now that I didn't know before? Small desire makes it easy to be kind. And then the proclamation was go forward with joy. So that, I don't know that's perfect, but that's an example of the way I work to sort of understand these eight truths. And then I think, let me look at my notes here. I don't know if there's anything I'm leaving out. Oh yeah, I talked about Dogen. Sometimes it's hard to understand my abbreviations. Yeah, oh, the true adult. Oh yeah, I think. Oh, I told you about this. These talks by Muho Nilke. I've got a. I really recommend them. This Muho was also an abbot of this Antaiji monastery in Japan. They're very intense. They practice zazen for 55 minutes, and they hardly ever have a talk. That's you're just doing zazen. But he actually gave a bunch of talks on these eight truths, and I've got a web address that I can give you afterwards, if you like. They're very good. Anyway, let's see. That is I did. All right, so I guess what I want to finish with is something about wisdom, about what I was talking about, the wisdom being intuitive knowledge. And this is written by a monk named Gudo Nishijima. He's Japanese. I think he was 20th century. His take on wisdom, and it's actually his commentary on the Heart Sutra, the Prajnaparamita Sutra. Prajna means wisdom. And paramita, that's another list of things I'll talk about actually next week. But this is his commentary on the Prajnaparamita, and I really like it. So prajna, wisdom. Yeah, prajna, or real wisdom, is a kind of intuitive ability that occurs in our body and mind when our body and mind are in the state of balance and harmony. We normally think that wisdom is something based on the intellect, but Buddhists believe that wisdom, on which our decisions are based, is not intellectual, but intuitive. The right decision comes from the right state of body and mind, and the right state of body and mind comes when our body and mind are balanced and harmonized. And Zazen is the practice by which our body and mind enter the state of balance and harmony. Mahaprajnaparamita, then, is the essence of Zazen. I think that's what I got today. If anybody has any questions, they're welcome to ask. Yeah, Chris, that's all.
Thank you, Tom, for sharing something I've never heard about before, the sutra. The one thing I have a question for you is these are the eight truths of being an adult, or?
Of the true adult.
Of the true adult.
Yeah.
Okay. So I see that there's no mention of compassion.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if you have anything to say about that, because it seems an essential part of being an adult, from the
Yeah.
perspective of our branch of Buddhism. And our branch also, I don't know if you call it insists, but talks about wisdom and compassion together.
Right.
One without the other is not effective for a bodhisattva. So I'm wondering if that's typical of Buddhist teaching at that time, not focusing on compassion and how it was added, or
Yeah.
any kind of perspective.
Yeah, compassion is like basic to the Mahayana. The branch of Buddhism that we are in. It's sort of the in the in Theravadan Buddhism or in the original teachings, the Pali Canon, it's about reaching enlightenment yourself. And the compassion is, we make a vow to save all sentient beings, and that's the Mahayana. That's our branch of Buddhism. Yeah, so compassion is basic. I don't know why I didn't include this, like I said, it could have been written in China, 400 years later, but I can't answer the question of why it's not in there. But it seems pretty basic to our practice of Buddhism.
Maybe you said it, best in that the Theravadin's focus was not on the concept of the bodhisattva that we have, and
That's right.
more on, Do you even did Buddha have teachings on compassion at all?
I can't think of any. Can you? Yeah.
It's assumed. I mean, I've assumed it, but
Yeah.
the reality of it, I'm curious about.
What is the sutra that is best is the best discussion of compassion?
Last year, we at the practice period, we read the Vimalakirti Sutra.
Right.
And in the Vimalakirti Sutra, it's really about a lay bodhisattva, and there's a lot. They go into a lot about the importance of compassion linked with wisdom, and
I remember.
to me, that was the biggest teaching of that sutra for me. I just saw it missing in the eight truths, and
Yeah, it's
was
not in
curious
there.
about it.
It's not in there. Well, that's a good question, and I'm not sure that I could answer it. Yeah, but I remember your teaching on the Vimalakirti Sutra. I remember that compassion. Thank you. Question. Yeah.
Can I just remind you to repeat the questions that people ask for
Oh,
people on the call?
yeah. So Chris's Tetsuo's question was, he didn't see any place in these eight qualities of the great person of the true adult, where compassion was recommended. So, and then I stumbled around to answer him, and then he remembered he was Shuso a year ago, and we all studied the Vimalakirti Sutra about the great layman Bodhisattva, and there was a lot about wisdom and compassion being a combination in which that teaches us to save all beings that we can. Does anybody else have a question?
I think this is going to be a great sesshin.
I hope so.
Off to a good start.
Yeah. Thank you. Oh, yeah.
I really like the way that you build up intuition. That with the what on the way, for example, I mentioned you develop the intuition about like, do not to be like desire, don't have too much desire, and walk us
Right.
through like different parts of reasoning about it. So can we do just another one
Another
on those
one?
end? Yeah.
Yeah, I think I got another favorite one. Yeah, there's this number six is the wants to oh the sixth is practicing the balanced state of jhana, our meditation. The want state, my want statement was, I want to practice the balanced state of jhana. What do I know about that? To be balanced means not leaning too far this way or that. And this, and Dale Dyson teaches that the first answers are usually more intellectual, and as you get deeper, then you're getting more intuitional. So I'll do that over. I want to practice the balanced state of jhana. What do I know about that? To be balanced means that not leaning too far this way or that. What else? In this way, you can live within Dharma. What else? But doing this, do we risk falling into torpor? What else? Not if we retain diligence. What else? When we ride a bike, we can retain balance and still go forward. What else? Pedal hard. And then what do I know now that I didn't know before? A balanced state of jhana does not imply lack of movement. And then my proclamation in jhana, let's move. So that's, yeah. Yeah, so then he wanted me to put together little talks, little mini talks based on that last that proclamation statement. So that's what I mean.
Very beautiful.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Anybody else? Oh, yeah.
When you say moving forward, where are you supposed to be moving forward towards?
Well, in this case, I was moving forward toward doing all these talks. So, that was my task. I was trying not to be lazy. So that was moving forward. But moving forward in your life and, in your practice, you're not trying to get, so you're not focused on the goal, but you don't want torpor. Torpor is a sloth. It's like you're sitting there, you want to get up, but maybe not right away, and yeah, you're just not getting anywhere. Sometimes happens. So. Okay. Yeah.
Can you say something maybe about torpor and laziness versus rest versus
Ah.
stillness? Maybe you could say something about that, how you experience that.
You need rest. And yeah. I guess I think of torpor as something where you're just not making any, you're not resting. It's not beneficial. You just you're in a funk. Let's see. I had something on here. I guess I can't find it. Yeah, I mean, it is something you could beat yourself up about. But it's a good idea to go forward. It's a good idea to be moving. Anybody else? Yeah, Erin.
I'm still formulating how to say this
Okay.
because I've spent more time practicing Zen through sitting than studying teachings.
Right.
But
Yeah, me
one of the
too.
things I'm discovering in the last few years, where I'm going into teachings more, I'm not, like I said, I'm kind of, it's something I'm reaching for, is where I'm not really connecting with a conversation around how one of, like, say, a precept or something you're talking about. It's that for me, the space is really about how I'm relating with it, not always the it itself. Does that make sense? So, for example,
A teaching.
yeah. So, for example, when you talk about the small desire,
Right.
or the big desire,
Yeah.
and where my mind goes is, well, why do I have to choose? Instead, perhaps it's just how I'm relating with it, and therefore it kind of neutralizes how I perceive that desire anyway. Does that make sense? I'm not finding in teachings kind of a way for me to connect into that space, unless it's just assumed that we're kind of contemplating those things already or coming to these realizations on our own through the sitting practice, that all of it at some point. This isn't to sound airy-fairy, like we don't live in this reality and there isn't the chop wood and carrying water, so to
Right.
speak. But more how to relate with that it's not because where my mind wants to go is in the good or bad. Well, then that means, small
Right.
desires are
That's
good
good.
because that's kind of
Yeah.
what
Big desire is bad. That's pretty
big
much,
desires bad instead
yeah.
of just, well, I can have desires. It's really just about how I'm relating with those desires, and therefore the quality of that relationship then kind of dictates how I'm going to engage with it, and therefore how other people will experience it as well. I don't know if that makes sense, what I'm
Yeah.
saying.
Well, I mean, I think compassion, I mean, that big desires can disrupt compassion. I think if you're compassionate with someone, and you're focusing on them only what you want from them, that's, I mean, good or bad, it's just counterproductive to this, what we're trying to do as would be bodhisattvas.
So is what I'm hearing you say, this is how I'm taking it in, more about if I'm attached to it.
Right.
Because if I have a
Yeah,
small desire, I
right.
can be attached to it as
Yeah, I
well.
suppose
So
you're
it's
going to be
really, I guess,
attached.
yeah, it's just the languaging. So now I'm starting to, yeah, again, that relationship. Am I attached, overly attached to it
Right.
or not?
Yeah. Does it interfere with your
Right. My unity, the
bodhisattva
integrity.
vows? Yeah,
Yeah.
right. Oh yeah, does everybody know what a bodhisattva is? What is the Chinese word? It's pusa,
Usa.
pusa.
Usa. Usa.
So it's someone who's compassion, who wants to save all beings.
Kind of like our version of a saint.
Yeah, it's like a Catholic saint. Yeah, there's God and the saints, and there's Buddha and the Bodhisattvas, different teams. Yeah, Mike.
Yeah, I kind of like that, but you got to save yourself first.
Yeah,
Well,
well,
that doesn't make any sense.
yeah, the mask comes down in the airplane.
Yeah, I mean, because when I chant it, I talk about myself,
Right.
saving myself, and then my delusions, because I can't endure delusions.
Right. Yeah, and to be clear, to end somebody else's delusions, you got to be clear. You got to be clear in yourself. So, yeah. But yeah, that's like the mask dropping down in the airplane, and you put it on yourself even before you put it on your kid. Yes.
I just have a reflection hearing the talking.
Please.
My name is Cindy.
Hi, Cindy.
My reflection is about attachment. You just mentioned that also. She just mentioned that one small desire, big desire, is all about your relationship with the desire, how much you attached. So just my reflections. Can you talk about the attachment? Like a human being natural have this attachment with your parents, with your kids, with your loved ones. But for our practice is we try to practice for Buddhism is not attached with
Not
anything
attached.
for the emptiness. But since we grew up, we just attach with everything. That's how we grew up. So love to hear anything about
Well,
attachment.
attachment goes with craving, I mean, craving is sort of the thing that's really counseled against, and so I suppose, yeah, I love my family. I love my sisters and brothers, and I loved my parents when they were alive. And was I attached? But can I think I just talked to my sister last night for a long time. She's a really good-hearted person, and So how do you I mean, she's not me. I'm not her. I want the best for her. And can I be not attached to her? She gives me a really lot of joy. And is that attachment? I don't know. It's Yeah, to stay, to be, in yourself, to be here. You're not the other person. Well, I mean, we're all part of Buddha. We're all one. But I'm not sure I can answer that question either. I believe that in non-attachment. I believe I'm thinking of examples. I believe we should not. Should we shouldn't be grasping. And we see the result of grasping in the world today. Attachment. I don't think I can give a good answer. I'm sorry.
That means the grasping, if you can not grasping, equal not attached.
I'm not sure they're the same thing. Yeah. Anybody else? Do you have a coward?
All in a lifeline.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, yeah, go ahead.
There's a big difference between caring for someone. You get to worrying about the outcome.
Right.
That's where it becomes unhealthy. I mean, you got a kid who isn't doing well, you can still love them, just you detach because you don't know the outcome. We none of us ever know the outcome of anything.
Yeah.
And it's kind of loving without that obsession. And unconditional, because then when you're loving them, when you want something, you're conditioned. If they're not doing X, Y, and Z, then your love's conditioned. Unconditional love,
Right.
just accepting them exactly where they are and
Yeah.
leaving it go.
It can be really painful, depending on.
That's unhealthy.
Yeah. How's that? Yeah. It would be attached. Do you have children? Yeah. My son, I just have a son. He's doing well, and I'm with him whenever I can be, but he's got a life of his own. So that's, maybe that's I'm not quite I don't want him to do stuff that I'm interested in what he does next. I'm interested in what he wants to do, his experience of life. But there's nothing that I'm attached to that I want for him. Some of you can be that, you can identify so much with your children that you want, you've got ideas for what they ought to be. And maybe that could be unattached. Thanks. Thanks. Anybody else? Any more questions I can answer? Well, thank you all for coming and listening and participating. And really enjoyed being with you.
Back to page two of the camp. We're going to chant slowly after the Dharma talk. Gotcha. May our meditations equally expand to every deed and place. With the true merit of Buddha's way, beings are numberless. I vow to save them. They are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless. I vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable. I vow to become it.
So in a moment we'll be heading up to the community room. We have some tea and cookies. And before we go,
It would be great if we could put the room back together. And before we do that, I wanted to say a couple of words. So, as most of you know, this tradition, this lineage that we're in, it can be traced back directly to the teachings of Sakyamuni Buddha. In fact, when people are ordained in this lineage, we get a lineage paper that goes name by name directly back to Sakyamuni Buddha. And we continue to carry the traditions and teachings as best we can. Including this really deep tradition of generosity and support, of holding our collective effort to follow this Dharma path, to find peace, to support each other. And throughout these 2,600 years that this has been happening and has successfully continued, there are so many times when I'm so stunned that we're still doing this, because Buddhism is not like a, we don't go out and try to get people to be Buddhists, we just sit here, and if people come, they come. Some guests came earlier this week, and one of them was a doctor at Stanford University, and he said, "It took me 20 years to find this place because we're not like advertising, we're just practicing." And the only way that that has happened for so long is because of generosity, the generosity of the people who dedicate their lives to Dharma, like Kinho, who's here offering us these beautiful teachings. And the generosity of the people in the community who offer support to the temples. The temples exist entirely on the generosity of the community. So it is traditional, and in Pali, which is the language of the Buddha, of the Savaka Sangha, the original Sangha, Pali, the word dana means generosity. So it's traditional for us to talk a little bit about dana and to ask you for your support, so that we can continue for the next 2,600 years. The founder of this temple, Kogun, when he founded this temple, he said, "This is a 500-year temple." And so we're, what, 40 years in now? 30 some years in? We got a long way to go. So, yeah, please, there are some QR codes.
Thank you for listening to this podcast offered by Jokoji Zen Center. Our Dharma talks are offered free of charge, and this is made possible by the donations we receive. Your support helps us to continue to offer the Dharma. For more information about Jokoji, please visit us on the web at jokoji.org.